Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are here. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, Doug and Jess are here, ready to get to the phones, and we have got a very special guest coming up shortly. Really excited to have this person in studio with us. I want to remind everyone the number to dial is 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access, kdkradio.com. And let's give away that $25 gift certificate to Sorgles before we officially get underway. 10th caller at 412-922-1020. So now that you're back getting the stones set up at Soldier's Field, you have to be excited about your next weekend. And before we talk gardening, give me a little Rolling Stones. It was great to see him back.
Yeah, they did it. It wasn't bad. I methodically, obsessively looked through every song yesterday
to see how they did. Seriously, how do they do this?
I don't know.
It's amazing. And I'm happy for Mick, big fan. So everybody's alive and well, and the Rolling Stones are touring again, and you're going to be seeing them soon. So you can tell me all about that when you get back.
Good morning, Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Wallace.
We do have a special guest today. Micah Tribou from Plumline Nursery is here. He'll join us after the 7:30 news break. He is a tree and shrub expert. We're going to have fun talking to him. And today is a pollinator party at Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse in Cecil. It's just off the Bridgeville exit. It's a celebration of the end of Pollinator Week, and you can get a free milkweed plant. That is the only host plant for monarch butterflies. I'll be giving that away today at 2 o'clock, and then talking a little bit about what plants to add to your garden for pollinators. Today, 2 p.m. at Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse. And I saw the first signs last night of damage to tomato plants, where the bottom leaves had started to turn spotty brown and yellow. And I think it's the first of many things like that we are going to see after all that rain.
Yeah, it's been rough. And my tomatoes so far look good, but I've been hearing from a lot of gardeners as well that are starting to see signs of blight and septoria leaf spot on those lower leaves. When you see them just break those leaves off or use a nice sharp pair of scissors to cut them off of the plant, and don't throw them in the compost pile, throw them away or put them in the burn pile and get rid of them that way so you don't spread the spores. But it's a wet season like this, you're going to have fungal issues. Just we're going to have to deal with it.
But the positive is it's a tropical rainforest out there.
Yes.
You were saying your pole beans
were... I have never, by this time of year, I have never had my pole beans already at the top of my trellis, which is like almost 7 feet tall. And they're growing up over the top of my trellis.
And I have tomatoes that are doing the same thing, that are taller than I am, that are starting to flop over the top of a trellis. And just about everything else I can think of that's in the garden growing is growing like crazy.
Yeah, it's a little bit wild. And I haven't had much time to spend in my garden. I was at the International Master Gardener Conference yesterday. It was this past week out in Valley Forge, which is near Philadelphia, and I heard from everybody there that they just had a wonderful time touring all the public gardens there, and you know, it was always nice to hang out with kindred spirits. And I ended my presentation with one of my favorite videos of all, which is of a little parasitic maggot that it was a great way to end the Master Gardener.
It's a great way for people to wake up and have breakfast.
Exactly.
The video.
It was after breakfast, though. My talk was like right after.
No, but
breakfast,
everybody's eating their breakfast right now, and you're talking about a video of maggots.
I know, but that's what I thought was really funny. It was like only a gardener.
It doesn't surprise us.
I know. Only a gardener. Gardeners would appreciate that type of information. But it was a great day. It was a great group of people. You know, when you get that many garden lovers together, it's always a good time.
And if you haven't got all your stuff planted yet, I don't either. I did some planting yesterday, bought a couple flats of flowers and stuff. It was fun to get my containers going. I'm using, and I don't know the name of it, but I found this ornamental millet that is chartreuse with like red stripes in it. So I'm using that as a thriller in a lot of my containers. And we'll see how it does. It probably really wants full sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got it in part sun in some places, just real shady. So mm-hmm. we'll see how it does, mm-hmm. you know, if it'll how the color will be and such. But I like the way it looks. It's something different to put in the center of my containers. And lots of sales out there. Mm-hmm. You know me.
Yeah.
Mr. Cheapskate.
And chartreuse is such a great color in the garden. You know, some people, when all these chartreuse foliaged plants started coming out, some people are like, oh, they look diseased, or they look like they, you know, don't have any nitrogen. But they really have so much to offer in the garden. I have some really cool chartreuse coleus in the garden this year. I've got a chartreuse elderberry, that lemony lace elderberry.
I bought a whole flat of chartreuse coleus yesterday.
They add, especially if you have a lot of shade, there's such a nice pop of sort of light colored foliage for the shade.
Just lights up a corner.
It really does. It really does. You know, sometimes I think in a tree, that chartreuse foliage makes it look a little bit anemic. But
although I saw one, I don't know what garden it was. I'm trying to think of the tree. Don't you have a maple that has those kind of leaves? No.
I do. I have a Japanese maple that has chartreuse leaves, and it's really lovely. But I mean, like the
I think I saw
trees.
A big oak. Yeah, somewhere
really?
In England that had, and I thought it was stunning, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's kind of a weird color, but I love playing with that color in the garden. You know, what doesn't go with chartreuse? That's probably what I planted. What color doesn't go with chartreuse? I like reds.
I like burgundies.
Purples.
Yep, burgundy and purple I think look the best.
Get pink. I guess pink wouldn't go. That's
light pink definitely wouldn't go. But like a hot pink might, or orange would look really good with it.
I did put some orange impatiens in.
Yeah.
I am worried about losing my impatience here at the end of the season. Mm. Last couple seasons, especially with all this rain early on, you know, impatient downy mildew has been it's been around forever, but it's been a problem the last probably 5 years.
Yeah.
And we'll see, but I don't really have, as far as annuals go, now I have got, you know, I always have more and more perennials, but my containers, you know, you're always going to have a place for annuals. And for me, in my shade, impatiens just do so well. I wish I could afford to buy double impatiens, but they're in the big, you know, 3-inch pots. Mm-hmm. Why can't there be a flat of double impatiens?
Well, because they're vegetatively propagated. They're not seed propagated. So they propagate them from cuttings, whereas when you buy a flat of impatiens, they're grown from seed, so they're much less expensive to produce.
You can't grow a double from seed?
I don't think so. I think they're all vegetatively propagated.
Well, they had to get
it's
started
like clone,
somehow.
Like clone, from a random chance mutation, and then from then on they were vegetatively propagated.
I'm referred to as a random chance mutation.
You are
myself.
Random. You are a one of a kind, Doug Oster.
Thank you.
There is absolutely no doubt.
Thank you so much.
That.
Thank you so much.
I know it was a compliment.
Hey, we have a winner. It's Lynn in Wexford.
Congratulations, Lynn.
She's right close to Sorgles there.
You know, I just thought I'd just start staring at people on the air, see if somebody will like start talking before me. You know, I have nothing else to add.
We've been talking this whole segment, Rob.
I know. I have nothing else to add. What else is going on? So we got a little bit of time left here before we go to break. What else is on your mind?
Japanese beetles. Jessica saw the first Japanese beetle.
Can they actually destroy rose bushes?
No, they can eat the foliage. I mean, here's the thing. People freak out about them, but the truth
is, they never bothered me.
They are going to defoliate it. A little bit. They can make it not look so good, but they're never going to kill your plant.
It's not the end of the world.
I mean, I have seen whole blueberry bushes, whole raspberry bushes, whole rose bushes just covered in Japanese beetles. And the next year they come back and they're just fine. Like they're not going to kill the plant.
If they really bother you, I just say knock them off into a jar of soapy water in the morning. That's what I do. But
yeah. Yep. I mean, and you can cover like my blueberries. If they get really bad on the blueberries, I'll knock them off the plant and then cover the plant in that floating row cover, which sort of, puts a protective barrier over it. Doesn't make a rose look so good because then you can't enjoy the blooms because they're covered in that floating row cover. But I actually have found a great trap crop for Japanese beetles. I always grow that annual called Kiss Me Over the Garden Gate, which it's a huge plant, and that is their most favorite plant. And they choose to go to that plant over anything else in my garden. So a few feet away from my blueberry bushes, I always grow Kiss Me Over the Garden Gate, and all the Japanese beetles go over there, and they completely ignore the blueberries.
That's a good idea.
Works like a charm.
All right, just remember that hopefully your neighbor's up for that kissing over the garden gate. All right, we'll take
it's
a
just
break.
The name of the plant, not an actual action.
That's a pretty cool name, though. We'll be back. Stay with us. Much more to come, and a very special guest from Plumline Nursery within 20.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, we got a Dollar Bank Instant Access as we get back. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. Doug mentioned ornamental millet. Could you suggest any other thrillers? I typically use spike in my flower boxes. Would like to hear additional suggestions.
Okay.
Assuming you have full sun, right? If she's going to use a Dracaena spike, then or he is going to probably have full sun.
Yeah, and again, if it was me, I guess I'd probably throw that spike in because I don't have any full sun, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what are your options there? For me, the spikes don't work. It's just not for me, you know? And everybody has a different thing that they use. You know, I'll use a big salvia, like that one I love called Wendy's Wish. I'll use that as a thriller.
I have I'll the black and blue one.
Yeah, that's really a cool,
cool
one.
Salvia
I'll use a big caladium. Mm-hmm. As a thriller in the shade. Full sun, though.
You could use an elephant ear.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of that tropical
I
look.
Actually used a couple, I found a couple banana plants cheap.
Nice.
That were about, you know, a foot and a half tall. They were good. I'm sure they'll be too big at the end of the season. They'll be, you know, like 5 feet tall, but I'm not worried about that now. I'm just worried about what it looks like now.
I have one of my favorites this year that I did as a thriller in the center of the containers on my back porch was the Persian Shield. Which is, it's
idea.
Not a bloomer, but it has this fantastic purple variegated foliage that is just knock your socks off. And I partnered that purple with red petunias, and it actually looks really cool together,
cool.
That purple and red together. I also love the Brugmansia, the big angel trumpets.
And that's huge.
They can get to be tree size, but right now mine's only maybe about 2 feet high, and it actually has some blooms on it, and they're pink and they're lovely. So that's another good, I mean, there's just, the thing for me is when I walk into a nursery, I don't have planned in my head what I want to be in my containers. I maybe pick a color scheme and then I go in there and I see what they have. I also, on my front porch, I did that. Have you seen the popcorn plant?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really cool plant. So I did that at the center of a pot, and then I have orange million bells and that lemon sedum coming over the side, and then some pink profusion zinnias, like hot pink. So it's a little crazy color combo.
We should actually refresh people on thriller, filler, and spiller, what we're talking about, because to us, it's just like, that's the way you do it.
It's the lingo, right?
So the thriller is the big one in the middle that is the star of the container. Then around it, something a little shorter, you know, three or four fillers, and then something to soften the edges that spills over. And that's always the challenge. Now, in my case, again, you know, I'm waiting for a lot of my spillers to go on sale. So a lot of my containers have thrillers and fillers, and I'm waiting for the spillers to go on sale. I was trying to find a spiller yesterday that was in a flat, you know, where I could buy however many of them. You know,
are such a cheapskate.
I know, but that's no surprise. You know, I had planted a couple different containers a week ago, and I subbed out the thriller yesterday. I was like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to put this in there instead, and just swapped them out and threw a canna. I actually have a big South Pacific canna that was the centerpiece of a piece, and I think, what did I throw in there? Probably one of those millets, I think. I really liked that. I bought all of those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were on sale.
Okay, it's Adela, Brighton Heights, up for Doug and Jess right now as we continue on the Organic Gardeners on KDK Radio. Good morning, Adela.
Good morning. How are you all this morning?
Good. What's on your mind?
Great. What we noticed the other day is that our tomato plants are wilting from the top down. And what I wanted to know was, I'm assuming, like, the bottoms look pretty good. The tops are all wilted over, and so should we cut those off? Should we take the plants out? Is this something that's like a fungus or some kind of a thing? I assumed that anything that was going to happen was going to happen from the bottom up. So we were just wondering what that was and what we should do about it.
Well, do you think it's leaf curl or do you think it's drainage?
Well, I was just going to ask her to explain wilting.
What exactly does it look like?
The from the stems, the stems are just like have just kind of like drooped. They're all drooped over, and the leaves on those stems look like they're wilting.
Okay, are these growing in the ground or in containers?
In the ground.
Okay, Because that could be look a little bit like overwatering in a container. So if somebody out there listening is growing their tomatoes in a container and they have water mm-hmm. that sits in the saucer in the bottom, that's a mm-hmm. big no-no. And that can sort of cause that dramatic wilting, which looks like underwatering, but it's actually overwatering in that case.
Right, it looks like right. underwatering.
Right, yeah. And it could be a leaf curl, which is just sort of a varietal issue. Are you growing a bunch of different types of tomatoes or all one type?
No, we only have four, and they're different types. And my okay. husband put them in, and I know they're all different, but I can't even tell you what they are.
Are they all showing the wilt? Are they all look bad, or just a few?
I actually think one of them had no wilt, and the rest of them are wilting, and they're not even next to each other. They're kind of all in different spots away, and one is completely on the other side of the house. So it's not even like they're you know, up against one another. They're all spread out.
It's not, and the reason we're asking you all these questions is that's not something that we commonly see. So
yeah.
if you would say mm-hmm. it was a young seedling and it was a whole plant, I would say, oh, it's probably a cutworm. If you had said that you saw sort of like black, gooey spots on the stem where the, you know, just below where you were showing the wilt, then, you know, mm-hmm. we could assess that as a type of blight. It could be a root rot, like verticillium root rot. It is really hard to say without seeing the plant and without actually doing a diagnosis. I might cut that part off and cut it down into the healthy tissue and then let the side shoots develop and cross your fingers that it's not a vascular wilt of some type.
All right. Thank you for the call. Listen, we've got lots of folks on the line wanting to talk to Doug and Jess. Just stay where you're at. Got a very special guest coming up in just a little while as well, too.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, let's begin the half hour by saying if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you're going to get a $25 gift certificate from Janoski's. Their summer festival continuing day two out in Clinton, Pennsylvania. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, your host of the program, Doug and Jess.
And we're joined by our very special guest, Micah Micah, from Plumline Nursery in Michael, first off, where is the nursery?
We're in Murraysville, east suburbs. If you get off the turnpike or the parkway, head towards Monroeville, get off at the Golden Mile Highway, keep going straight, you'll eventually hit us.
The thing is, it's off the beaten path a little bit, and that's a good thing because that means you've got to have some really cool stuff.
Yeah, we're surrounded by a old housing development. We were there first, but everything kind of grew up around us. Yeah, sometimes it can be a little bit interesting giving directions, especially for delivery trucks and things like that.
I'll bet.
And pizzas.
You have to have your priorities, delivery trucks, pizzas.
How did it begin?
My dad started it in the mid-70s. He was hydroseeding on a road crew. I think they were doing the turnpike at the time. And his father had kind of given him an acre of land. So he started building his house there, and in the evenings, he was growing rhododendrons that he imported from, I think it was the Netherlands, which, yeah, back then, I mean, there was no internet. I have no idea where he was able to source that sort of thing. But yeah, he started growing them and then sold one to a relative. And, you know, it just kind of grew a little bit year after year.
And there's a very, very special tree in the center of the nursery there that will astound you, Jess. It was planted by your dad, right?
Yeah, he planted it the same time my sister was born, my older sister. So that would have been like maybe 1977. And we
you
have
just outed your sister on how old she is.
She's not listening.
Okay.
Lucky you.
Yeah, we have pictures of the tree and her kind of standing side by side. Aww. As they've aged, and the tree has grown remarkably quickly.
And
in that
what
location.
Is it?
It's a weeping Japanese maple. I think it's an ever-red, but we're not 100% sure on that.
Amazing.
And I've never seen one that big. And there have been people through the years that have actually tried to purchase that huge tree, right?
Yeah, we've had multiple offers. The most notable was a fellow offered $30,000, although he wanted a guarantee that the tree would survive the transplant.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know how seriously my dad was considering doing it, but that was certainly a deal breaker.
Yeah.
So when I need a source for trees and shrubs for a story, I'm always coming to you. What is it about that specialty for you? What is it about trees and shrubs that makes it your thing?
Well, I think it was my dad's thing originally, so maybe I picked up on that passion just a little bit. Especially, you know, as I was growing up in it, you know, perennials were not really a big popular thing like in the 80s and early 90s. I remember a period of time where we did not sell perennials, and my dad referred to them as weeds. And so we've certainly come a long way. Our perennial selection at the garden center now is extremely vast, and we sell a lot of them. But yeah, my heart's still in the trees and shrubs. You know, part of that might be, you know, my trips out west are buying trips out to Oregon, you know, where you get to see these vast, beautiful fields of all the new and unique varieties of things. Yeah, that probably has something to do with it, for sure.
Well, I thought of you yesterday when my Korean stewardia was blooming, and I was like, oh, Micah would love to see this.
Yeah, stewardia is one of my favorites.
Is there something else that's underused in the landscape, tree or shrub-wise, that you know, that you've fallen in love with, that maybe the general public, it's hard to explain to them what it is or to sell it to them?
Oh, yeah. I think it's probably become my personal mission to make the Enkianthus, the red vein Enkianthus,
yes,
a common shrub in people's yards.
All right, so you guys tell us what that is. What exactly is that?
Well, it's sort of, for me, is like a mixture between a Pieris japonica, right? So it looks a little bit like a Pieris, has those little bell-shaped flowers, but then it sort of has the foliage of almost like a mountain laurel a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of a cross between all of those like shade loving Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, you know, Western PA type things.
Well, this is funny because I saw Micah at the home show, and we had talked about this plant before, and I could not remember the name of it. And I was trying to explain it to him, and I'm in the middle of this talk, you know, an hour later, and he walks by and he goes, Enkianthus, is that how you pronounce it? So I stopped everything and said, Micah, that's awesome.
It was driving me crazy. And, you know, I made it my mission to not look at my phone when I couldn't think of the name of it. You know,
good.
I had to sit there and, you know, recall it from memory.
I asked you a stupid question today when you walked in because I didn't know the answer. I said, why is purple the color for plum line?
Yeah, we are on the border of Plum Borough and Murraysville. So the name Plum Line, it's the
you
plum
know,
line.
You know, I've always wondered that.
Yeah.
I've always wondered that.
Yeah, you know, and we tied in a little bit of a stonemason's deal with the plum line,
oh,
you know,
yes.
So
okay.
A straight line, even-handed, you know, with business dealings and things like that. We've tried to make that a little bit of our motto internally.
Tell me a little bit about what you get out of working with these customers who have been coming back since, you know, back to the 70s.
Well, it's great, and you develop these relationships, and you know, at some point they stop being customers. You know, and we're a family business, and so a lot of the employees are like family. They've been with us for as long as I've been around, and those customers are pretty similar. They are family to me, a great deal of them. You know, and even, you know, you don't have to be a long-term customer for me to appreciate you and appreciate what you're trying to do. Anybody who's trying to beautify their little corner of the world, you know, I can really appreciate what they're trying to do. And there's also a little bit of I really enjoy the problem solving aspect of it. There's just so many variables that go into making a garden or a landscape beautiful, and not just beautiful, but successful, which, you know, over the long term can be kind of difficult.
And we were talking about this off air, actually, and it's a good conversation because so many new homeowners or new gardeners, they feel intimidated when they walk into a garden center because it's a lot of plant material. They feel like they come in and they don't know very much, and you want to make them feel good and feel welcome. And, you know, we were talking off air, and we sort of, you know, nobody walks in what do we use? Nobody walks into a golf store and automatically, unless you have experience as a golfer, know which golf clubs to buy. And when people go into a garden center, they shouldn't expect to know exactly which tree to buy. And that's why you're there with all of your knowledge and they can ask you questions. A good quality nurseryman knows how to give the right answers.
Well, thank you for calling me a quality nurseryman.
I know for a fact that you are.
It is my whole purpose, and anybody on staff at our retail center, it's our purpose to answer those questions. We want to answer those questions. And, you know, it's much more preferable people come in there being humble and interested in learning, as opposed to maybe trying to tell me what they know.
You know, as much as Jess and I work with plants, we learn so much at the nursery from people who work with the plants every day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We all learn every day. I learn something new that I had no idea about every day.
Well, Micah Trabu from Plumline Nursery, stick around. We might have some questions for you as the calls get rolling in. We appreciate you coming.
Thanks for having
me. So early in the morning down to the studio, and we'll see you soon.
All right, now Micah's going to stick with us. If you have a question, call us 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access, kdkradio.com.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, congratulations, Sharon, a winner of that wonderful gift certificate from Janoski's in Clinton. All right, let's get right back to the phones. Let's head out to that great community that is Oakmont and say hi to Sue. Sue, welcome to the program. You're on the air with Doug and Jessica, KDKA Radio. Good morning.
Yes, I'm growing Japanese eggplant, and the leaves are totally eaten with big holes in them. I was wondering if that's going to bother the eggplant.
How large are the plants right now?
Oh, about 6 inches high.
Okay.
7 inches high.
And what percent would you say is defoliated?
Oh, a good portion of it.
Okay, and when you say big holes in the leaves, are you talking like dime size and bigger, or are they just small little holes?
Does it look like
small and dime size?
Does it look like a shotgun blast?
Yes.
Yeah. Like when it looks like a bunch of buckshot went through the leaves, it's flea beetle damage, and flea beetle damage is really, really common on eggplants. It's one of their favorite plants. Mostly those little tiny shot holes are more of an aesthetic issue. The plant often sort of begins to outgrow them. If you're talking about bigger holes where they're dime size and larger, you probably have a slug issue going on, in which case you can use a slug control product that's based on iron phosphate, so something like Slug-O or Escargot, and you sprinkle it around the base of the plant, and that will it baits the slugs and then poisons them without poisoning wildlife. With the flea beetles, most at my house, I just let the plants outgrow the flea beetles. If you really wanted to make sure that you controlled them, you could use like a kaolin clay-based product on there, which would help manage them as
well. So explain the kaolin clay, how that works.
So kaolin clay is, it's like in kaopectate. It's in toothpaste. It's a natural product. It comes in a powdered form, and you mix it with water. It's like a wettable powder, and you spray it on the plant, and it makes the plant looks like it like it's covered in a white dust, and that keeps the flea beetles don't like that on them, so that it keeps the flea beetles off. It's a deterrent for them, and that works very well with flea beetles, and also in the
All
orchard.
Right, so it would have been better to do this immediately.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're not going to get rid of the damage that you already have, but that would prevent the damage from getting worse.
And we always know that eggplant are going to be attacked by flea beetles.
Yeah, it's a sort of standard.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, the one thing that has worked to keep the flea beetles off of my eggplants, which is too late for her now, but I have learned to always underplant my eggplants with bok choy. And I always start bok choy from seed. I just buy a packet of seed at the garden center, and I under sow because they love the bok choy even more than they love the eggplants. And it sort of is like they go to that instead of going to the eggplants. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Could I get that at Penn Hills Nursery?
Probably.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sue.
All right, next stop. We got time for one more quick call. Let's go to North Hills, say hi to Kay. Hey, Kay, welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning. I have a question for Micah. I'd like to know the name of some flowering, fast-growing trees.
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Just so I can get an idea.
Aside from flowering and fast growing, how large would you like it to get eventually?
Oh, maybe 20 or so. Not real, real high, but 20, 25.
Well, Japanese stewardia would be an excellent choice.
Oh, we both love that.
Yeah, I really love those. They grow pretty quickly, and they have these buttercup flowers. They're one of my favorite trees. I would definitely recommend that.
And does that stewardia do good in our climate?
Yeah, right? Extremely well. We actually grow them in our production facility at the nursery, and we have no trouble with any of the winters or anything like that.
Any other ideas?
You know, the purple leaf plum, like the thundercloud, that would be an easy one. They grow really quickly. They're pretty inexpensive. They have the, you know, beautiful red foliage. So that would be a nice one. That's going to get right up to about 20 feet.
What about like one of those red buckeyes?
Oh, yeah.
Those are really cool. Yeah. They're pretty fast growing, too.
Well, how big, though? Doesn't it get huge eventually?
Not the red buckeyes. They tend to stay a little bit smaller, maybe 30 feet or so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like everything else, I mean, depending on how long we're planning on living, everything's going to get too big for us.
Well, Mike, I want to thank you for coming in representing Plumline. Plumline Nursery is an awesome place. You know, I love it out there.
If you are looking for a tree or shrub in Pittsburgh, this is the place to go to find something fun. I'll tell you what, though,
they got probably an acre worth of perennials and all sorts of other stuff. It's a fun place to shop. I enjoy going there. It's a lot of fun.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Jess, what's left to do in your garden? Are you done planting all your containers?
I am definitely done planting all my containers. It's been a good season so far, especially not having to water.
I'm loving that. Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
All right, again, thanks to Mike and, of course, Doug and Jess.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.